We'd like to welcome everybody out this evening to our city council. It's time for us to begin. We're going to start with an invocation and a pledge of allegiance, and Dick is going to offer that for us. Go ahead and just sit down.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful this night that we were able to attend the working city council meeting, and for those who are in attendance at this time, we pray that thou will please bless them, that on their return trip they'll be kept safe. We're thankful for this moisture which we've received. We pray that we can receive more. We're sure grateful for it, and we need more. We are thankful for health and strength, and pray that thou will bless us, that we'll be able to keep that. And we say this name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ready? Start.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Dick. First item on the agenda, we have a presentation from the fire department by Nick Wright. If you want to take a few minutes and get us up to speed on what's going on with you guys.
Yeah, it's been a couple months actually since I've...
We missed you. You're always on the agenda, and we wonder what happens to you all the time.
So we haven't had kind of a big deal happening with the fire department. We celebrated Merlin Spenlove, who worked with the fire department in the fire service for 34 years. We had a retirement party for him, so it was a good experience, and he's doing well. So just want to report on that. As far as like statistics for the department, for the whole city, for Station 43, they responded on 89 calls, which would include all the calls in Lamberton and also the calls that they ran up to other stations or areas to help with that. So it was 89 total calls there. 43 of those calls were EMS calls within the city of Lamberton. They had one fire and then 11 other calls with, you know, fire alarms or whatever the individual responded on. And that doesn't add up to 89, but the difference in that was the calls that they responded to other areas, like in facilities and so forth. And then, so just to report on the two, so we've had two fire board meetings since I reported last. The first one, most of the time that we spent on that was we had a promotion of a battalion chief and a captain. And we did the swearing ceremony for them. Plus, we had seven firefighters that completed probation, and we did a swearing in ceremony for them as well. That was the majority of the call, or the majority of the time spent in that fire board meeting. The next fire board meeting, we had quite a bit of stuff that we talked about. So, we have had we went to the special sessions with the governor to talk about the sales tax. That did go through, he passed that, and then the governor signed it yesterday. So the sales tax did go through. So that means that starting in January, we should be able to start using that money. We won't collect it for a couple of years, but we should be able to start planning on that money and then lowering the property tax because of that. That was we're excited about that. It was at least 3 to 4 years in the making trying to get that passed. So that should not give us a lot of money, but should help alleviate some of the burden that we've been putting on the property taxes. So also in that same meeting, well, in the previous meeting, we talked about an impact fee study that had gone out. And then in the last meeting, we approved the impact fees. The change in those impact fees. So, for residential, it went from $516.46 for residential up to $1,063.79 for residential. And the commercial was going to be assessed. It used to be $53.53 per square foot, and it is $1.58 per square foot on commercial stuff. And that was approved at the fire board meeting as well. Business as usual. I don't know if you guys have questions for me, concerns, I might be able to answer for you.
It's good news with the tax being passing. So, any questions from the council? Okay, thanks for coming tonight. Next on the agenda, we have the introduction of the Working City Royalty and the Youth City Council. Meredith?
Let's start with the new royalty. Girls, do you want to come up? Guys, want to help Abby? I'm going to turn the time over to Ms. Silverigan, Adria Layton.
Hi, like she just said, I am Adria Layton. My parents are Mark and Heather Layton.
I'm Juliet Skousen. My parents are Jocelyn and Nathaniel Skousen.
I'm Talia Tiger, and my parents are Chris and Joanna Tiger.
I'm Emily Sagmiller, and this is my sister, Abby Sagmiller, and my parents are Chris and Hannah Sagmiller.
They're going to sing the jingle that's the tradition for Wolverine Royalty.
Welcome to Wolverine. It's a beautiful sally. We have confluent offsprings too. Our heritage is something you should see. Winter festerates and
thank you for coming tonight.
I wanted to acknowledge that Jenna Purdue is the second attendant, and she's on vacation with her family. Her parents are Greg and Linda Purdue. Now I'll turn the time over to our Youth City Council Mayor, Isaiah Iverson.
And how all of you come up.
My name is Isaiah Iverson. I'm the mayor this year. I'll just go down the line and introduce everybody. This is Jacob Julison, and he is our council member. Emily Lisby, who's not here, is also a council member. We have Lily Stewart. She's down there. She's a council member. Angel Howard is not in attendance. She's a council member. Juliet Skousen, she's a council member. Ben Alton, who's not in attendance today, is a city administrator. Levi Lane is operations director, and Lincoln Lane is recreation director. And then we have public safety, Brittany Sharon, and then Taylor Pierce and Hazel Hooper aren't here, treasurer and recorder. I just have a quick thing to say. On behalf of all of us, I just want to say thank you for your incredible support and encouragement this year. Because of your support, we've had amazing opportunities to learn, grow, and serve our community. You've helped make it possible for us to go on trips where we've gained leadership experience, built friendships, and represented Wolverine with honor and pride. experiences have inspired us to come home and make a difference right here in our own city. The Youth Council gives us a voice and a chance to learn what it really means to be involved in local government. We've seen firsthand how much time, care, and effort you put into making Laverkan a great place to live. Your example has shown us what true community leaders look like. Thank you for believing in us, for giving us these opportunities, and for continuing to invest in the next generation of leaders. We're excited to keep learning from this experience and to keep serving our city with the same spirit and dedication and pride. Thank you again for everything you do for us.
So, as the Youth City Council, what are your plans for the city this year?
Well, we do a lot of volunteer work. We like helping with the kids, and definitely we want to get more kids involved. So, I think me and Lincoln are seniors, and so we definitely want to get other kids our age involved in the city council. That's a big goal. And then just all around be examples to the younger generation and to the older.
That's great. Any questions from the council?
Yeah. You get to go to Salt Lake. You used to go to Salt Lake to meet the governor.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Have you done that?
Well, we went last year. We'll go again January. Last year we got to meet the vice or the lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
So we'll see if we meet Governor Cox this year.
Okay. Any other comments?
You know, just thank you very much. I hope someday you'll all be sitting up here.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You've already got the jackets with their name on it, so you can just sit right up here.
We'll let them jack you get a hell afterwards, huh? Yeah. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. One more. Is anybody blinking? Let's go. Thank you.
Thank you, all of you. Next item we have on the agenda is the consent agenda. If there's not any discussion on the agenda, I'll entertain a single motion to accept the agenda. Any discussion? Entertain the motion.
Mayor, I'll make the motion to accept the consent agenda, the declaration of conflict of interest agenda, the meeting minutes from September the 3rd, 2025, regular and work meeting, September 17th, 2025, regular meeting. Checks and invoices, $224,709.68.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Micah?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Patty?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Our next item on the agenda is a public hearing. This is for budget amendment for the fiscal year 2025-2026. Before we open the public hearing, I'll turn the time over to Kyle to give us some information on that so the public is aware of what is having the hearing for. So.
There are several items here that I can bring to your attention. First off, the revenue. This was in the general fund. The revenue, there was the adjusted property tax for $7,600. That's because they counted against the number in time when we approved the agenda. It happens most of the time this way. So we adjusted that. Other sales and use tax, telecommunications, transit room tax, and VAT tax for just in the general fund taxes was $48,106 that we increased the revenue. Intergovernmental revenue, that was $532,000 that is money that will come from the county for the regional trail. We need to get that agreement signed tonight, I think, and send that off to the county so that they can get us the money. There's also another grant that is money from the county for the dog shelter. There's a little bit of confusion. At this point, we show the money coming in revenue to us. Chief Fugitelli has informed me that the county may pay those contractors directly. Either way, if the money, if they pay the contractors directly, that will be just money that we won't spend, and it's in the budget. We say, hope we won't spend it. That's intergovernmental revenue for $618,000. We increased the interest income by $5,000. We had some miscellaneous revenue, the $1,500 for the America 250 grant. And for those of you who were here last Saturday and were able to be at the event, and let Councilman Dubler or Chief Minchitelli talk to that, but we had the America 250 car. It's a pretty sharp looking car, and that's where that grant money went for. Then we have a $33,500 carry forward for the subdivision setup fee, which is just money from last year that we need to move forward for miscellaneous expenditures on subdivisions. For a total revenue of $706,106. Where the expenditures show up was Alex Gator's truck is also a carry forward of $4,500. He had the accident and we fixed that truck. It just never got paid until this year. $1,500 for an America 250 grant for the dirty car. $86,000 for the dog shelter. $35,500 for the subdivision setup fee. Trails for $532,000. Draft tax, $30,000. And that is to help with, in your budget amendment, we have created for our VAT tax to spend on the restrooms out at Wallace Park, assuming that you guys are good to go with getting those renovated and remodeled. What they're going to do is, it's just about, it seemed like it was $96,000 to renovate those bathrooms. There are currently two bathrooms out there, boys in it. A man and a woman's bathroom. They're going to make four bathrooms that will be gender neutral so that anybody can use any of them. And there'll be two that are handicap accessible. And instead of just two bathrooms, we'll now have four bathrooms. New laws state that there needs to be separation when people go into the restroom. We added the $30,000 into the rat tax to help pay for that, assuming that you still want those fixed, which you did before. Then we added $1,600 in to the recreation budget, and that's just to help with supplies and various things for this building that Meredy will manage. And $15,000 for work on the bridge fence and the L sign. And the L and the sign on the building. We're putting a sign out here on the building. Opposed to that, we want behind this, it'll be our logo, and we're having that made up. So that's total expenditure of $706,000 and $706,106, which equals the revenue. And in the water fund, we increased the revenue by $110,000 and had expenditures of $110,000. Part of that is to buy a truck for the water department. And savings to go for R&R, which is what we increased the water rate for, and so we're going to show that we're putting that money in savings. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Now we'll open it to the public for the public hearing. If any of you would like to come up and take up to 3 minutes and ask any other questions and about it, and any concerns you might have. So it's open for anybody who wants to come up. Nobody? Okay. We'll close the public hearing then. Thank you. the next public hearing we have is the approval of the 2025 Joint Agency Regional Water Conservation Plan. Doug, I see you're here. Would you like to take a few minutes and just explain that to the public before we open it up to them?
Sure.
Appreciate you coming tonight.
Oh, you bet. It's always a good omen when it's raining when you're adopting water.
Yeah.
Seems to happen a lot. Good evening, Mayor Wilson, members of the council. My name is Doug Bennett. I'm the Water Conservation Manager for the Washington County Water Conservancy District. And this is the first ever joint plan that's been produced in the state of Utah. And historically, every city and every water district in the state of Utah has been required to submit a plan every 5 years to the state for approval. And typically, the small communities will hire an engineering firm or somebody to write this plan for them, and they would spend between $10,000 and $20,000 to have someone else produce this plan for them. But now that we're sharing a water supply, and everybody's a partner in the regional water supply agreement, Scott Taylor at the city of St. George, who was at the moment, I think, writing one of these plans, said, I don't understand why we can't just write one and submit it on behalf of all of us, because we're all doing the same stuff. And I thought that was a great idea. And the state looked at the statute and said that, yes, they thought they could work with just a single plan. So we're expecting this will save the agencies over $100,000 collectively. And with adoption of this plan by your council, that will mean that Laverkan will not have to produce another plan until 2030, but I'm pretty sure that'll be another joint regional plan, and therefore you'll just simply be tagging on to it. This plan contains measures that we already have in place. There's really nothing controversial in here. Probably everything that's in this plan, all the measures that are being done both in Laverkan and your sister communities around Washington County, they've already read about in the newspapers. They're already aware of how we're handling this. So there's nothing new in here. We won't see a lot about that. Mostly what we're trying to do is just inform the state, write a document that people can read easily, and be able to meet the statutory requirement. So, but I'm here if anyone has any questions related to the water conservation program or this plan.
Do we have a copy of that?
Have to be in the business.
This one? Yeah.
Questions that need to be in the business. This is just
okay. Very well.
Yeah. Okay.
The plan was approved by our board in early September, and it's been posted publicly for. It would have been posted with your announcement of this hearing, right? It was publicly available, and it's been on the district's website for over a month now, so the public could view.
And we already approved, give preliminary approval for the to go in with the county on this plan. So I think didn't we do that in June or July or something like that when it was first presented to us?
Now the state required us to get some kind of acknowledgement that each city intended to join this plan, but there's no obligation that the city subscribe to it. It has to be done through this adoption. But the state wanted to know who intends to use a joint plan and be part of it. So.
Okay. Thanks, Doug. I appreciate your coming. We will now open it for the public for the public hearing. So anybody that would like to come up and make comments or ask questions about this regional water conservation plan, you're welcome to come up. Up to 3 minutes. Anybody? Okay. If nobody would like to come up, then we'll close the public hearing. Next item is on our business item is discussion and possible action to approve resolution R-2025-14. A resolution opening and amending the fiscal year 2025-2026 budget. Questions or discussion from the council? Any other questions? Micah?
No.
Dick?
Just what amendment did we make to it? How much?
What was the total?
$706,106 to the general fund and $110,000 to the water fund.
What was the difference from our other budgets? Well, I guess the question he's asking.
That's
the total amount. Oh, that's because of the county.
The $532,086,000 is the big portion. That's for those two grants.
Yes. Okay. And?
No, we've already discussed it previously, so I'm good.
No. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve resolution R-2025-14.
Mayor, I'll make the motion that we approve resolution R-2025-14.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Blair?
Yes.
Dick? Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Okay. The next item is discussion and possible action to approve resolution 2025-15. Should that be an R in front of the name?
Right? I'm sorry?
Should that be an R in front of that for a resolution?
Yeah, it should be.
Be an R-2025-15.
We can just simply insert that.
Okay. Approving the 2025 Joint Agency Regional Water Conservation Plan. Any discussion from the council or any questions you might want to ask Doug?
Is that what we just talked about?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mike, is it you?
No, I've been reading about it on the website and in the news online. I don't think I have any questions.
Okay. Do you have any other questions there? Patty?
No, I think we've discussed it quite a bit.
Yes, we have.
You have a copy of it. Yes, we have. I like the plan. I like conservation. I just didn't, as I read through the numbers and looked at everything, I thought they're using a lot of water. And they say it, I do believe it said in there, 70 or 75% use of the water we have available. And you know the plan better than I do. You can probably say yes or no. But I didn't like that we're working on that to get our water rights more secure so that we benefit from those water rights being used in other parts of the county. I understand that's the way it is.
Our water rights used in other parts of the county?
We have water rights, but aren't they being used in because we're jointly connected?
The water rights that each city has are used in their own city. That's my understanding. Is that correct, Doug?
Typically, unless a city wholesales some of their water to another city. So the cities are able to sell water to their neighbors in some cases. But yes, it's typically used in your city, and the district's role is to bolster whatever water demands you have that you don't already have adequate water for.
That
the district covers everybody's additional demands beyond their own water resources.
And I'm not positive. I think we're about one of the only ones that still have water rights we haven't used, whether others are relying on the water district to bolster their water rights because they've used them up. That's my understanding. So
reading it, that's the way I read it, but I didn't get any. As you mentioned, we have the right to sell those water rights to other agencies or other governmental agencies.
Right.
And I think that's part of the agreement. You've been working with the state and getting something written out by the guy we hired, isn't that right, Kyle?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's...
How far away is that?
We're really close.
It's really close?
Yeah.
It'll come to the council and we'll be able to read that?
Yes, you will. Mm-hmm. In fact, we met with him up at the League of Cities, and there were just a couple of minor things, I think, that he was going to work out with the district, and then we would have a final plan that we could present to the council.
I guess what I worry about is 30 years down the road, where that other 30%, over 70% has been used.
That's what all of us were concerned about, is, and that was part of what the agreement is going to be, that 30 years down the road, we still have the water.
That was, like the mayor said, that was a concern, and it's a
big pill to swallow every time we see his bill come through, but it's been money well spent, and he definitely does have the working city's interest foremost. It's been good.
Yeah, that was good. And it was good with the water district because they really relied on his expertise to making sure that the agreement is done right and protects us and protects them.
Okay.
So, but that's part of this is actually.
I know we've discussed it before.
This is actually.
I wanted it discussed now.
Yeah. This is
a councilman or three councilmen coming onto the board.
This is actually not part of the resolution. So.
It's the same organization.
Anyway, if there's not any other discussion, I'll entertain a motion to approve resolution 2025-15.
Mayor, I'll make a motion. We approve action to approve act resolution number R-2025-15, approving the 2025 Joint Agency Regional Water Conservation Plan.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. Micah?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Blair?
No.
No?
Okay. I've always been a real man. Yeah. Stay with my belief.
All right. Well, it still passes. All right. Thanks for coming, Doug.
Can I ask one question before you leave? What you need from us then is we need a copy of the resolution together with that, as I recall, minutes of the meeting.
Yes, and I understand minutes aren't typically approved until the following meeting, right. So there'll be a delay, but I'll get back with the clerk or get the minutes online.
Okay. I was just going to say that.
I'll get that stuff to the state.
By next meeting, we should have the minutes and we'd send everything to you.
Yeah, and people wonder why our government moves so slowly, right?
Yeah.
We've got our plan. We just have to attach this other stuff in a month to it.
Yeah,
so, thank you so much.
Thanks. Next item on the agenda is discussion and possible action to proceed with the application for the Utah Rural Opportunity Grant. Pat, did you want to take a minute on that?
Sure. The city is considering applying for the grant that the governor just mentioned, and the purpose of this grant would be to hire a consultant to help us develop a plan for a downtown development area, a walkable downtown, and then also consider the rest of State Street commercial planning for that. So we are in the process of putting in an application now, gathering information. It's going to be pretty involved. The Planning Commission will have to sign off on it next week. Derek is working on some information about how much of our commercial land is already developed, what has been planned that we know is pretty certain going to happen, and then what is still up in question. This will help us determine by doing this and creating an overlay zone. It will help us better decide what types of businesses will best suit Laverkan, what part of the city they should be in. It will also help clarify what type of businesses we want to go after. Part of the actionable part of it, we hope to include some infrastructure in it because this grant, while they like planning, they want to make sure that it's going to be implemented. So that's what we're working on now. As far as the money goes, I've left messages for two different downtown consultant firms. One is highly recommended. Destination Development, I believe the director is Roger Brooks. Colette Cox, who works for the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity, and I spoke with Kelly Stoll. He is the Economic Development Director for Kane County. I might not have his title absolutely correct. But they have used Roger Brooks and have been very, very pleased. So that, and they're just finishing it, so perhaps they would have some opportunity to work with Laverne should we get the grant. As far as our Laverne's match, it's the state will pay for a city our size in third class county, which Washington County is. The state will pay 60% of the grant. That leaves us, the entity applying, for a 40% match. And so right now, I guess, for the council to move forward on deciding if we want to proceed with the application is deciding what our grant match could be. And speaking with, we had a meeting the other morning with Kyle and Kelly, Darren, and Alan Weiss, our planning chair. And Kyle thought that we could, and Derek, sorry, Derek, Kyle thought that we could go up to as high as 40,000 if need be without seriously being detrimental to other items that we have on our priority list of business that needs to be accomplished. We will also need to get a match from the county. So this is all in the works. Nothing is guaranteed at this point, but it is just an application. But we definitely hope to get it. So that's something, Micah.
Isn't it time sensitive also? As far
it's
as
very time sensitive. We have to have it in by October 29th.
So it costs $40,000?
Mm-hmm.
That would be our match. And so that you all know and understand, that would be money that would come out of savings.
Come out of what?
Savings.
And that much?
Yeah,
that would be good.
And some of this could go possibly towards hiring a planner?
No. I can find that out here.
It cannot.
It cannot be used. It can be used to hire the consultant to do the downtown development and overlay plan, but not for a planner. The state feels that communities who are applying for this need to be able to pay for their own plan. So that part is not. But it will go, our match or the grant can go to other things like the infrastructure or putting it in. Marketing is a big thing. This was a really great idea in the meeting that we had and came up with. We're tossing ideas around what's most important about this grant and what's going to serve Laverne and Bess. And Kyle kind of said it most clearly is rebrand Laverne. You know, Laverne needs to have a story. It needs to be special. And so we kind of need to rebrand it and decide what that's going to be. And that's why it's so important to have a specialist doing the consulting work. So that's where we are right now.
Okay. So we're not actually approving it. We're just actually approving the application and go forward.
We're just working on putting in the application. We haven't even been able to put the application in yet.
If we get the grant, it would have to come back to you and then you'd have to approve at that point.
This is approval for the application.
Patty, would we as a city be able to work more closely and intimately with this group? You know, I felt like when you got kind of came back with their thing, it just felt like it didn't fit, you know, a whole lot. And if we're able to work with them through the process and kind of give them an idea.
Yes, I think that would be definitely be part of the city's agreement with the consultant in the contract that whichever council members wanted to be involved or to the extent that a council member wants to be involved, that they are definitely involved.
You might even
because
have
this is
a couple of work meetings too
that
you could advertise and have all of you.
It's such a big deal. I just so hope we can get it. Because the timing is crucial, the timing is perfect. We still have a lot of open land. We all know we want Laverne to keep the community feel. We don't want to look like other cities. We want to be ourselves. So, yeah.
it's exciting.
Any other comments, Blair? Do you have any comments on? Any other comments here? Okay, well, I'll entertain a motion to approve to be able to proceed with the application for the Utah Rural Opportunity Grant.
Mayor, I'll make the motion that we proceed with the application for the Utah Rural Opportunity Grant.
Do we have a second for the motion?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Blair?
Yes.
Eddie?
Yes.
Jake?
Yes.
And Micah?
Yes.
Okay. Next item is a discussion regarding the upcoming meeting with the Division of Drinking Water for the potential lead and copper grant loan. We have already, the Drinking Water, Division of Drinking Water has already approved a 50% grant up to $1.1 million something. Is that what it is? Million. I don't know all the change on that, but it was presented to them that the project would roughly cost about $2,200,000. They've agreed to give us half of that money in loan forgiveness, which is basically grant money. When we went to meet with them, we were expecting to get all grant money. And we told them that, and they didn't know what to tell us. But after discussion with them, their advice was to accept what they have, and then we could present it to the council and see if we wanted to move forward with what they've already offered us. We also want to meet with them again and see if we can, if there's a possibility to improve the terms of it. The term was the payback of the $1.1 million was 20 years at 2.5% interest, which amounted to about $75,000 a year for 20 years. And I explained to them that we hadn't intended to raise the water rates to cover that project. The intent was to get the money to be able to replace the water line coming into town, which is our main water line from the springs. It's a 12-inch line, and it's buried in some places up to 18 feet in the ground, and that's something that should have been remedied when they redid the road, but it didn't happen, and we've had some issues with that in the last few years. And so it's I think pretty critical that we get that taken care of. And I explained that to them, and they said, well, maybe we could help out with that project, but that was a maybe, and it's nothing for sure. But our plan is that we will meet with them again. We've already talked with the lady that kind of prepared that for us, Andrea. She presents it to the board on our behalf, and then they make a decision. And we're going to meet with her again and see if we can get those terms on the payback of it so they're more favorable for us. Maybe extend the time to, 25 years?
It can be extended up to 39 years. I don't think that we need to extend that far if they adjust the terms. Yeah. There have been several things that in my last conversation with her, there is a possibility, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow in our meeting, about if we can identify that the majority of the project will be in a LMI part of the community, a low to moderate income place, which we think we can. The terms of the loan may be 20-80, and we get 80% grant if we can determine that. And she also mentioned a 0% interest was an option. She felt pretty good about that. If we could get 0% interest and extend it just 5 years, it would put our payment down where I think we could manage it. It would be less than 50, I think it's around $44,000, and that's manageable for us.
But and then we could go ahead with the other project and
yes,
get that taken care of as well.
In a year or so.
Yeah.
I put some information in there about our water collection that I'll go over in my report. If it will be even better if we can prove to them that we have the, or we can qualify for that 80-20.
That would be fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. And it would bring it down to 20-something thousand dollars thing.
Anyway, that's, if you have any comments or any questions about that, that's what we're looking at right now. The money is available for us. So we need to move forward with that. So, you have any questions, Micah?
No.
Dick, no. Any
no. Other? Sounds good.
Blair? Okay. Well, that's what we'll do. We'll just continue working with them and see if we can make that work out for us. That's good that we're, if we can make this work in our best interest to get that section of town taken care of, it definitely needs it. And the federal government's mandating that to be done by 2030. So, and this money is available right now, and hopefully we can make that work out. Okay, the next item on the agenda is discussion regarding the cemetery wall. We've got some, other than doing a block wall, there's maybe another option that might even be better than a block wall. I don't think we can compare that to doing a block wall. And this is called Rhino Rock. It's a company out of Provo that makes these panels that they're out of cement, but the inside of it is foam, and so they're fairly light. I think one panel is, from what I understand, weighs about 250 pounds. So I don't know if they've already done the engineering for an 8-foot wall. It almost looks like in some of the stuff that they have that they've done what engineering is necessary.
I've got an estimate here.
To do an 8-foot wall. So
what kind of wall?
It's an 8-foot wall, and there is engineering required. They take care of all that. It's the only company that we have that does this, so when they provided the estimate, this is not. And we'll have to modify our existing code, because right now I think our code says it has to be a cinder block wall. But the looks of this,
it looks like
looks a little better. If you wanted to, you can see that front picture is 8 foot. And then they have different designs and stuff that you can go through and do that. Now, when they talked about that, all totaled in everything was $97,237 for the north wall of the, and that would be a wall much like the one on the.
How many feet east and west?
I had Derek get the measurements and I didn't print it off, but they got on the computer and they told me how long it was. When I talked to them on the phone, they got GIS or something that gets on there and they tell them how far it is. So they put that bid based on that. There might be some variance a little bit on that, but I don't know what cinder block wall goes for per square foot or per linear foot. But
and that's installed. This is installed.
That's installed and everything, delivered and everything. Like I say, if you want us to, the reason it's on the agenda is you guys need to decide if we want to spend $100,000, which would also be money out of savings, that we could have several pots of money that could help contribute to that. There has been some talk about even going across the front that's right out on State Street. Now, it can't be an 8-foot wall there, but it could have a lower wall with wrought iron fence, and they do that as well, as you see in the pictures. There's got to be a visibility thing with the state road. There's even talk about coming down the side on Main Street just depends on how much money you want to spend. This is just for the north side between the cemetery and the
residential
area to the north. And I think it looks good. It would be, it's something that we've been, it has been an issue, or not an issue, but has been talked to us about several times. If we ever wanted to, we could put that wall up. You can see they can put some landscaping in there, which I'm sure we could too. That doesn't come with it. But, and then there was talk about the possibility of putting a flagpole and maybe multiple flagpoles and having some sort of a memorial in there. That could be another project down the road. But I know that there's been some people that would really like to see it. If you've been out there, it is, you know, you get out there when you have a funeral and the dogs are barking in the neighborhood and you see your chickens and anybody comes out, all that stuff. So I guess what I would like to know is what are you interested in that? Now, this bid is good for 60 days, so obviously they'll probably have to rebid it for this estimate. But first off, we'd have to, if you're interested in this kind of wall, then we'd have to change the code to allow for whatever this is considered.
I think this looks a lot better than cinder block, but and maybe
I'll bet cinder block would be more money because we got 7 or 8 years ago. We got a 6 foot wall bid on it was $65,000 or so.
What's wrong with the chain link fence with things in it where you can't see through it?
Doesn't look that good. Is probably what most people would think.
Do we know what the wind rating is?
It's got to be engineered. I don't know what the engineer is. Is there a state code on something like that that's engineered for?
Or when using on houses, I don't know about all houses are 100 mile an hour, 3 second wind gusts.
I know they mentioned in here that they, for the 8 foot wall, they have to engineer it differently for.
Yeah, than a 6 foot wall.
We probably have to provide that information to them. That's what our reading is.
Yeah, and they take. Yeah, I don't understand the bid. It's got all this stuff on it.
Okay.
But it talks about sections and all that stuff. I don't see any wind rating on there.
Anyway, if it's
before we spend the money,
it's up to the council to decide what
he wants to go down that route, that road.
I think we'll improve it, make it look a little bit better.
Are you interested in going across the front? Are you interested in going across? Main Street's not, doesn't seem to be quite a big deal, but it's just more money. We can get that.
I'd like to see us at least to the north. I mean, we talked about it almost seven, 8 years ago, and it's just going to be more expensive the longer we.
You could probably, is there electricity there close?
No, we're going to run it this winter.
You could probably put the little lights on there if you wanted to add a little bit more.
Do we need lights?
Yeah, run electricity there.
Because we're going to bring power to the flagpole anyway. So.
Yeah, that'd we'll be power. But the flagpole is not included in this, but if that's... You ever wanted to put some benches and a flagpole and stuff, that part of the cemetery cannot be anybody, we can't bury anybody there because we have a
storm drain.
Big line storm drain there. Right. Going through there. And
yeah. So their stuff says do it yourself, and their installation charge is $36,000. I don't know if we want to try to.
I think it would be best to let them
let
do that.
Install it.
They know what they're doing, and they know how to do it.
I don't want to do it.
I don't think Derek wants to do it, do you?
No, not really. But I would if you wanted to.
I think you ought to leave it to the professionals that are know how to install these.
We want it straight, not zigzaggy.
Anyway, what are your thoughts, Micah?
I'd like to at least do the north wall.
Do you like this?
You like this side?
Walk?
I do, yeah.
Dick?
If I lived there, I'd like to have something between me. I'd I know it's probably dry.
You, eventually you might live there, so.
My wife shaking her head, she doesn't care.
She doesn't want the chain link.
Chain link's already there. Just need to get the slats.
All right, Patty, what are your thoughts?
I like the idea of it. I'm not convinced by looking at these photos. I think I'd like to look at their website and see if I can get a little more information, or if they have it installed here locally, I'd really like to look at it. To me, sometimes this kind of a product is kind of cheap rather than good, so that's why I'd like to, if they have installations locally, look at it. I'm willing to spend the money, but the other thing is I agree that we should just do the north wall, because if we do a downtown development area, we potentially will have maybe a certain look. And so if we're going to put a wall, a partial wall, across the front of the cemetery on State Street, then it would be nice to have it flowing there. So this wall, keep it kind of simple and that. But the other thing that, and I don't know if we need to consider this now, but I think we've all been in agreement that we want a veterans memorial, and that's where the flagpoles would come in. And I don't know that putting this wall in first by itself would hinder that of veterans memorial in any way, but since it'd just be on the property line. But that's something that maybe would be phase two of the cemetery project, would be that veterans memorial. And so I'm open to looking at this. I'm not 100% sold on this product at this point until I can see it in person.
Do you prefer a cinder block wall then?
You know, there's a lot of different types of cinder block walls. As an example, that dark gray that Interstate Rock uses in Cottonwood Hollow is very attractive. And then they also have the lighter gray instead of the reddish typical, you know, or the sand colored cinder block.
And this can be colored any color we want, obviously.
And that's a good point, Kyle, because it does say on this that it comes in as gray concrete, and that all coloring is done after installation. Was the coloring part of the quote? So that would be another thing. I think I would like to move forward on doing a cemetery wall. I'm just not sure that this is the product.
Well, Patty brought up some good points. She always does. But, and I agree with her, we ought to find some walls that have been installed for a few years of this material and see how they're holding up.
There's
do some investigation.
There's, I think we have.
But I think we
lots
should.
Lots of it again. Available. In fact, I've seen it in some very expensive neighborhoods in the last few months.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could, from the company, we could just get a listing of a few addresses or something that we can drive by.
Well, you're welcome to look on the website. A lot of this is printed off there. RhinoRock.com.
They show how they install it, stuff like that on the website.
There's
a lot of different variations to it, so.
How much would painting cost?
Didn't ask.
Would it need to be painted?
Well, it's up to you guys. Depends. If you want it to be
gray. But I mean, some where this isn't necessarily a natural concrete, like it's kind of like a mix of salt foam in it, does it need to be painted?
No.
Does it look
I don't know what this picture, if that's painted or not. I don't know. I didn't ask. But it does say in there it'll come to a gray-colored, I'm guessing, concrete color. Because it's that's the exterior is concrete.
I would imagine that picture on the second page with the brick home would probably be the natural color that it comes in.
The painting would be extra if they would charge. I have no idea. We could ask that. Or if you don't want it painted, then I'm sure if you got it gray and 2 years down the road you didn't like it, you could color it something else. I just want to bring this to your attention. So we talked about it, and we can continue to talk and talk about it, but it doesn't matter to me one way or another, but if we want to get it done, that's what it's costing right now, $100,000.
I'm willing to spend approximately $100,000 on the north wall to get it done. I just don't know that tonight, I don't know that this is the product that's the best choice.
And this is just discussion time.
Yeah. So I guess we need some guidance on what you want us to do.
Why don't we check out the website individually and then have it on the agenda next time, at least for discussion again.
Yeah. Kyle, can you check with the salesperson and see what addresses that are public enough that we can have drive-bys individually?
Yes,
And then also if he has on the website, if he could direct us to an image that is the unpainted concrete wall installed.
Okay.
And how many people, to his knowledge, don't paint the concrete walls? That would be the other thing.
So one thing, I don't know if in Cottonwood Hollow if they do those retaining blocks. Theirs are solid concrete, but they finish it like it's rock on the exterior.
Yeah.
And I had those at my house, didn't stain those. And
those look great, but when Kyle was asking about the cinder block wall, some of the individual properties on their backyards, side yards, have that dark gray cinder block, and it really looks nice. Now, if it's the same cost as this, and we get to see what this looks like in person, maybe this is better way to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're going to do this and if we're going to spend $100,000, let's make sure it's the product that we want collectively.
I suspect a cinder block wall, just guessing, talking with Kyle Littleway, he'd give me some numbers. I don't know if he knows. I suspect a cinder block wall would be more labor intensive and cost us more money.
And with that, it has to include the engineering on it as well, too.
Yeah, because we'd have to give them the specs on that.
Yeah.
Kyle, just a side question. I think this has come up before. If we had Sunrise Engineering do a design for us for a veterans memorial along the cemetery, in the cemetery, what kind of money are we looking at for that?
They would probably hire that out.
To do this, but
I would bet they would hire that out just like they did the Long's Park.
Mm-hmm.
It would be somebody that they would do. The good and bad with that is it's our engineering firm, but whenever they hire somebody out, they tack on the electric for themselves. And,
yeah.
And so if we're going to do that, I'd just get a landscape architect and do it directly, and then we're eliminating one person we have to pay. I don't know that for sure about Sunrise, but I suspect that that's what would happen. That's what happened on our planner.
Okay. But in having the wall installed, do we need to consider electrical or not for lighting and that? For
The wall is going to be clear on the property line. I don't imagine it'll, whether we put the wall in or not, that would affect what our electrical
is. Okay.
No, because we'll keep it on the south side.
Okay.
Yeah, everything that we do would have to be on our property, and the wall would be right on the line. Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad you got this, because we have talked about it for a long time,
yeah.
So it's really nice to be moving on it.
Okay. Not any discussion, we'll move on. Last item on the agenda is discussion regarding the elementary school crossing guard hours. Nick, you want to take a minute on that and just tell us what's been going on? I know you'd love to.
About a month ago, I received a call that the two crossing guards that were at State and Center Street weren't there until 9 o'clock. I spoke with the person over the phone, and they were upset. I I informed them that the crossing guards stay there until 8:55. The first bell rings at the school at 8:55. Anything after 9 o'clock when they go through the doors is considered a late pass of Laverkin Elementary School. I've personally been out there doing crossing guard duty. I like doing it. It's a tough gig. And they were just concerned that maybe their kids being late couldn't make it across the street safely in the crossing guard without the crossing guards there first thing in the morning. I told them if that's something that they wanted to do, I don't know if the city would be open to paying the crossing guards longer hours. The two crossing guards that do work at that spot, they've both been there a couple of years. They both have other jobs that they do. They try to get that done in the middle of the day so that they can be back in their location before 3:30 when school gets out. That's about it. I do love the kids. I do make sure that they're safe every day. But I don't know if it's up to, and it'd be up to you guys if you want to keep them there longer for hours and if they'd be willing to do that.
One other thing, I know there's been some discussion about how come there's not a 20-mile-an-hour speed zone there, and the city has no say in that, and the state's response is if there is a street light there with crosswalk, they don't put the speed zone. That's state policy. So it's going to be 40 miles an hour through there no matter what, as long as there's a street light there and there's crossing at crosswalks. So we're not going to get a speed limit reduced if anybody's going to ask that.
Dick, I talked to a father that his daughter teaches at the school, and she said that they, you know, from 9:30 to 3:30 is school hours, and she said that they put the cones out at 8 a.m. and pick them up at 4 p.m.
That's the school ones probably on
to pull into the school parking lot.
That's not the ones out on the highway.
No, not the cones on the highway, yeah.
Do you know how many children get to school late on an average every week that this impacts? Was this just a one-off?
I mean, if I'm speaking for myself, I was late to school, but I rode a bike quickly, and where I grew up, we did not have crossing guards. I think one of the things to consider is, and this is what I kind of was thinking about, is right now our crossing guards make, is it 17?
17 or 18 bucks an hour.
$17 or $18 an hour. I know within the last 6 months for Hurricane City, they were having a really difficult time just finding crossing guards to do the job. So they increased all their wages to $25 an hour just to be able to have those people out there to do that specific job. Right now we do stagger the crossing guards. We have the one that works at our busier section, which is 500 North Main Street. She was trained this year, and she goes out there and she's there by 7:50 in the morning and sets up the cones, and then she leaves that location around 8:45, 8:40. Because there's really no kids that will make it all the way from there down here in that amount of time. And then the other crossing guards, they do set up at 8 o'clock, and then they start cleaning up their cones. And I do know that the crossing guards, they talk and hang out, but they also keep an eye out for the kids. And in the 3 years that I've been a police chief here, I can't remember one incident where somebody's been injured or anything like that. I've looked into even talking with Principal Young, and I guess years ago we painted the curb red in front of the school for just reasons that were done then. But I think as our environment around the school changes and now we're limited with parking that used to be on Center Street and other areas, we might want to consider looking at other options so that parents can drop their kids off closer to the school instead of on the other side of State Street so that they could then cross the street with the crossing guard.
The reason why we painted that red was what was happening is people were dropping their kids off and traffic was backing up, so when people come off the State Street, there was a potential for an accident rear-ended somebody because, so I don't recommend, just based on what we've done in the past, allowing that. The parent, you know, I've been out there and I can remember way back when I was a kid and you go into school and you can drive down there and there's those kids that maybe not walking as fast as they could to get to school, whatever. It's just going to happen. Sometimes the parents think their kids leave and there's plenty of time to go there, but I see kids throwing off to cabs and stuff like that all the time, and it's, I don't think that would change. I don't know.
Chief, I've wondered if we could extend it just a little bit to 9:15 to try to just catch those late stragglers.
So I think that'd be up to you guys to decide. I mean, however you'd like to do that. And then like I said, those two that are working there, they've been there. One of them has been there. This is their second full year, and the other one it's their 2.5. So, yeah, whatever their obligations are, I can make sure they'd still be available to do that. If not, I mean, earlier in the year, we were able to put out a job application because I always like to keep reserves on hand, and we've had a couple of those. And this year, when we put that out, we had one applicant fill it out, and then I contacted them to let them know, like, hey, this is kind of how this program's run. And they said, okay, I do not want to do that job. Thank you. And so it is, I've said in the past, I think it's a very oddly hourly job.
Yeah.
And especially to have somebody stand up in the street for an hour or so, especially when it's inclement weather and things, it makes it difficult. So I'm always open to give more hours and more time, but that's totally up to
me. I don't see the problem. Well, like the problem I see with that is 9:15, and my wife's from the office. There's kids that come in at 9:10. There's kids that come in at 9:20. So if we go to 9:15, what are we doing for the kids that come at 9:20 or 9:25?
Do we have a lot that...
I have no idea the numbers, but there are plenty of kids that come in.
I had a couple of parents contact me, one that just watched for a few days just to see, and, you know, they said generally there were, you know, two or three kids that would reach State Street after the crossing guards were gone. Usually by 9:10, there didn't seem to be anyone later than that. That's just why I thought 9:15. But I just would hate, if it's a budget thing, I would hate for us to not do something and have someone have a little kid. If they get hit on State Street, it'll be a fatality.
Mayor, can I say something? Just because I've worked at the school, and I've actually ran the morning pickup and picked up special needs students at the front of the school, so I watched it for about 5 years. And the school doesn't even want students on the ground until 8:30. They do not want the kids there. And I'm if I was a betting person, I'm betting the moms and the parents would be happier to have it pushed to the 9:15. Even just to the second bell. A lot of kids, they are not considered late until the second bell rings. So a lot of parents don't drop till the first bell. You're not considered late or truant until the 9 o'clock bell rings. The first bell rings at 8:55. The second bell rings at 9. So the fact that, and I too have seen children crossing before that. I think that. You maybe want to ask parents and stuff, but I am betting that the parents are going to be happier if we follow the school's policy and don't have students coming. There's nobody to watch them. They're not allowed inside the school until 8:30, so they're supervised on the school grounds. There's no
truthful, I'm getting, and I'm also just going to point out that the majority of the concern probably is on SR9, not the other crossing thing. So even if it was just the SR9 one that was available and ran, even if it didn't start until 8:30 and ran to the 9:05 even, I think you would appease a lot of parents. And that's just like from being there and watching that. You're right, you're not going to get every late student, but I would definitely say you probably want to be there until they're considered late, which is 9:00.
Or just have there's the parents, there's also a drop-off zone over on Main Street, too, that takes SR9 out of the whole thing.
I think this is getting a little more involved than the initial conversation. So what I see is that we're trying on the council, and Meredy brought up some really good points, but we're trying to make decisions about the behaviors of school kids and their parents. And I'm wondering if maybe before we make any decision or part of our discussion is that, Chief, you check with the principal and potentially the PTO and find out from those families who make the State Street crossing what they think will be best, what timing. And if it means that we have to extend the hours of the guards, then we could make that decision a much better decision. But I think our decision on what time needs to be a recommendation from the school.
So the parents I heard from, the two, are PTO. It was the PTO that called.
Yeah. So that would be good. So if they got together with the principal and the chief and made a recommendation to us, then I'd feel a lot better moving forward on that.
Any other comments? What?
My wife was a crossing guard for about 5 years on that particular corner in that highway. And they went out in the winter and bought them new coats because it was extremely cold. It's a hard corner for your crossing guards to work. And then at the time sort of broke up, and I'm speaking particularly for the crossing guards here. Their time is broke up in the morning and at noon and the evening. And I think we should be paying the same as what Washington or Hurricane or the surrounding communities are, and keep good crossing guards instead of underpaying. You're only looking at a few bucks a day. And I agree with Patty on getting the, and the people that called me, I had a couple of calls, and it was the PTA, but people, I don't know what they call it now.
Yeah, it used to be PTA, I think it's PTO.
Yeah, PTO,
yeah.
they called me, and I just said, well, I'll talk to Chief, and I'll talk to people around, and that's all I can do. But I think that if you extend the, cut it on one end and move it over the time limit, but also keep your crossing guards, because they're going to be affected by it, whatever that time is moved to.
It's hard to get people for those jobs because of that fact, just because you start in the morning, take a break like a bus driver, and you come back in the afternoon or whenever.
It's really
hard. It takes somebody who can have the flexibility to work that schedule.
Dick, you were crossing guard for a while. What are your comments?
Dangerous.
Okay.
I would think so.
Yeah, especially
traffic flying and the size of the vehicle.
Oh, yeah, and big trucks, they don't stop.
Well, if you just watch, a lot of them are on their phones as they're driving through there, too.
It is. I think we need to keep the pay up to what, I know it's out of your budget, but need to get good people.
I don't think any of us are saying who you have isn't good right now.
Yeah.
We see what you're saying is, you know, it's tough because it is split up, and I think what we're saying is if we need to pay a little more so that we could.
I'm all for paying more. I'm all for taking care of the people that take good care of the kids. And if we're looking to extend those hours, I'm totally open to tell them, can you please stay until this time? Because the majority of everybody would like that to happen, and just move forward from that.
I can't think of anything worse than losing a kid with the crosswalk. You know, it run out from you or whatever. I mean, so we need to go and have good people and pay them.
You know, the other thing, just when it was, you know, I started to watch a little bit after the phone call. I know when we used to live on the other side of State Street. So when my kids crossed, when you were crossing guard and your wife, it seemed like there was one on each side, but it seems like they're both on the east side now. Anyway,
I think I've seen it both ways.
They manned two crosswalks. They manned the one going across State Street and then the one going across center.
Okay.
I think sometimes, you know, they'll team up, or if they're in boredom, they don't stand alone. Mm-hmm. They kind of stand together, and then they'll keep an eye out when there's a child coming from the west side. I think they try to hustle across.
Yeah, I see them on both sides.
Okay. There, so. And maybe just on the day that it just seemed like they were sitting there together.
If we're going to extend hours and raise pay, it's going to be up to the council to do that, because you're the ones that control the budget. So
we'd have to look at our pay scale too, but we make sure that we can go up to this far. And I'd like to verify that Hurricane's paying that much before we just go away.
Well, I don't know that we're saying that much, but even if we increased it.
Yeah, so, but I mean, even we have a limit. I do know by resolution of what we pay part-time help, and I think it is 20.
And getting recommendation from the school would be, I think, important. So if we could do that, bring it back to the council, then we could have it as a decision item, right?
At our next meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that.
Gabby was supposed to be on the agenda, but did she?
She called and said she wasn't going to be able to make it tonight. So
is she going to come to the next one?
Here, this is the PTO.
So we can't make a decision tonight. Because it's not on the agenda to do that. But
we could have it.
Gabby could come if she's going to come the next time.
We can have it for our next council meeting
to the PTO
make a decision.
Which would be after? No, it would be after.
Well, we could have a decision before then. So, but they could. You can get a recommendation from them.
We've discussed
next
multiple
meeting.
Times in our meetings and with Gabby. This has been going on since last year. That's why we're here today. We've been trying to do this for a long time.
Okay.
Maybe Mayor, could you guys just give me an email of what your recommendations are, and I can share that. Since the meeting's not going to happen,
get it to Kyle as well and Faye, and then we could get it in a resolution or whatever that we can pass as a council.
The next budget amendment, you'll have to take that into consideration, because you'll need to increase the budget, which is not a big deal. The budget's there now, but it's not in the budget, so it's got to be in the budget.
Which we can do. It's not.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can I get a clarification on that? The email.
From Gabby. Get it from the school. Okay. All right. Let's go to council reports. What do I have? Anybody that wants to attend the What's Up Down South? It's going to be January the 15th. There's a schedule of the events. Let Kyle, you need to know by when.
In the email, I think we need to know by the 24th or something like that, if anybody wants to go to that. And we're going to plan on possibly inviting several members of the Economic Development Committee as well.
Okay. You can plan on me. I'll go. Patty?
I'm not
going
to be one of you.
No, that's right. You won't be. Well, you won't be here. You can't go. Can't go if you want.
Darren will be there, but I don't think we'll have to pay for him. I think he's in charge of the county.
He is.
Yeah.
I think you want to go.
He's running.
Have you been to it before?
I have. It's been a while.
It's pretty interesting.
What's the date? To. Is it in January?
January the 15th, Thursday.
Let me get back to you tomorrow. Just
get back to me sometime before the 24th.
Okay. Maybe sell some insurance down there or something. I don't know. Dick?
No.
Okay, all right.
Been there, done that.
All right. Okay. And, yeah, we may have some new council people that may want to go too, so we'll find out here shortly, okay?
And I'm sure we can get tickets
afterwards.
After that, just late tickets and cost a little more.
And we appreciate all of you that are candidates for being on the city council, being to the meetings. It's good to have you here. See what's going on, and we'll look forward to whoever wins out sitting up here in these chairs and making decisions. So, okay. Well, why don't we start with you?
So the solid waste, we did meet. They only meet every other month. And Kyle, did you get the email from the solid waste district about the increases?
I did not.
She told me she would. Okay, I'll make sure you get that tomorrow.
Please do.
But there's coming off the top of my head, 2.5% increase across the board for the venues and the pickups. Okay. And that happens every year.
Yeah.
And that's got to be figured, I'm sure, in her budget. She'll be here by now, but she told me she would. I'll make sure that's done tomorrow. And that was the only meeting I had.
Okay. Ed?
Planning Commission did not meet this last week for lack of a quorum. The items on the agenda were a discussion of mixed use that Derek and Brad have worked up. And then the other thing was we need the Planning Commission to approve the grant application for the downtown development. So I'm assuming those will be on for the next meeting, Derek?
They will.
Those
now,
topics?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And then the other thing is the corridor management plan study for the Zion Scenic Byway, the National Zion Scenic Byway, was approved by all partners. So that includes Kane County, Springdale, Rockville, Virgin, Laverkin, Hurricane, and Washington County. So now it moves forward to our representatives in the state legislature. And they should be able to get that through this year, and then it can go to the Federal Highway Administration for approval. The other thing that I have is last night we had an open house for the general plan update. We had a very light attendance. I want to compliment the three candidates. They were all there. They all engaged in conversation with everybody else, and so that in itself was very valuable. But there's we need more input. So Kyle, there isn't one of these over there at the table with the scan, is there?
There is.
Okay. So when you leave, everybody in the audience, if you haven't done the survey, if you would please just scan this QR code with your phone, and please take the survey, and council members, please take the survey. Attorney, please take the survey. We need input. This is our Laverkin. We need to know what you think.
Anybody wants a hard copy, they prefer to fill it out with paper, there's paper copies out at the city office.
Okay, good. So, and that's all.
Okay. Dick? Nick, give the report on the fire district, Ash Creek Special Sewer District. Last time we went to that, everything was okay.
Right.
Didn't report anything that was
not out of hand, so
they're still planning on having the treatment plant operational by December, January, so the
treatment plant down.
Yeah, it's coming right up, so
that's all I have.
Okay.
So we had cops and cars last weekend. Do we have a picture of that Leverkin 250 car? Do you have a picture of that car?
Yeah, I'm not here, but
okay.
We're going to send that on to the state.
Anyways, there were over 20 kids racing down Center Street at the event. Turned out really well. The weather cooperated for that evening, and the Leverkin City's American 250 car took home the win.
That was the winner, huh?
So we'll try to get you a picture of that car.
I've seen that. It's a good looking car.
Looks good.
Yeah.
The police department also helped out with the Washington County Sheriff's Office for the Trail Hero earlier this month. That was three days and three nights of supporting them and helping with that. And you're helping out with Witch Hazel next week?
Yes.
As well? So Witch Hazel's out and about, and the report on the recreation report, and a lot of it was tonight with the new royalty that we have in Youth City Council. Winterfest will start to set up around November 1st, start to begin to decorate and set up for Winterfest. The vendors are all sold out already, and so it's setting up for another good event. Meredy, can you use help again like you have in the past at the information booth? You'll have a sign up at the next meeting, okay, for those who are able to take a shift at the information booth.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Okay. Patty? Oh, just a minute. Patty, forgot.
Yeah. No, not that. I just want to compliment Micah and Meredy on the Youth Council. I think it's one of the best things that we've done for a long time, because really, they will be on the city council. Some of those kids will be mayor, and so to get an idea of what it's all about now, it's pretty priceless. So thank you.
Mary needs all the compliment. I don't deserve any of it. So
thank you.
Hey, anything?
No, I don't have anything of great importance. Everything I have will be on the agenda next week or the following. So.
Okay. Thank you. Kyle?
20 seconds?
15 seconds.
The cost of cars event, actually one of the candidates, John Glenda, he took a bunch of pictures, so I'll send, if you're okay with that, John, a picture out of the city council so they see the car. You've got a list of the short-term rental people. Water revenue is also in there, so you know, anyway, the water revenue people have changed a little bit. First July, we collected 63% more water revenue than we did before. August was 42, September's 35, so people are starting to make adjustments because their water rates are going up. With the credits that were just issued, so in October, you'll see a big decrease because we issued just under $14,000 worth of water credits to specific users who were in Tier 4 and 5. But now, as of October 1st, we're back on the full rate. So that credit will show up in that first billing, or the billing for November. And then the general plan, as Patty said, anybody that wants to, there's a paper here that scan the QR code or come out to the city office and fill out the paper if they want to do it manually or on paper. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Next item on the agenda is citizen comments. We can take no action on the matters raised under this agenda item, and this is for items that are not on the agenda. And 3 minutes apiece if those who want to come up and make a comment.
can't be about anything. It can't be about anything that's on the agenda. So if it's about the crossing guards.
I just want to get a clarification on the after-school hours, so I'll just ask you after.
Oh.
That
you can talk to Chief. He's open then, 24/7.
My office is open. Can I say something? Can I take 3 minutes? In this case, Kyle would say keep it brief. So I just want to recognize Derek and his crew with Public Works, because obviously on Friday we had a large storm come through here, and it dampened everybody's spirits. We had Confluence Park that had a lot of flooding. We had some residences around our community that were flooding. Officers were out and about late that night helping out where we could. Early in the morning, Derek grabbed the backhoe, Cage Steglich, and also Curran Stout came out with as much energy. And with all the flooding throughout the other cities, we weren't able to get other equipment that's sometimes available because they had to do their own cleanup. So I just wanted to say thank you to Derek and those guys. And also thank you to Chris Steglich, who came out and emceed. And I'm really appreciative that we have those kind of people help us out, especially on short notice. So, thank you. Thank you. And I'll talk to the PTO anytime.
Christian, I see you're getting ready to get out.
I was going to make the comment earlier, but I thought it would be better safe for this time. I just have a request, I guess, to keep me from bugging Nancy as much. I just noticed with the public hearings and things that get put on the website, it would be possible to post a copy of those resolutions with that public notice so we know what we're being notified about. I contacted Nancy and she got one for me so I could review it. I just think if we're posting those on the website and say, hey, here's the public notice, why not have the resolution with them if we can?
I know the city budget, was it with the do we publish that, or is it just a copy of the city office?
City office and around town. Okay. Yeah, you come to the city office to pick up copy.
I contacted Nancy and she emailed me once, so I was able to review it. I just figured if we could put it on there and say if you happen to email Nancy every time I want to see something, that'd be great. That's one of the comments.
Okay, thank you. Any others like to make a comment? No others? If there are no other comments, we stand adjourned. Thanks for coming tonight, everyone.
Which one, Jed?
Yeah.
Jed?
Yeah.
So my youngest boy is pretty good friends with Dax now. Quinn, my youngest boy.